Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
So last week, we looked at some of the things that destroys relationships. Okay, there are things that destroys relationships. And we learned that selfishness destroys it. So if you don't want to be selfish, then be selfless. Because selflessness will build us together as a church. Okay? We also learned that one of the things that destroys relationships is pride. Okay? So if you don't want your relationship to be destroyed, you have to substitute the pride with humility. So in place of pride, let's work hard for humility. Then we also realize that one of the things that can also destroy relationship is insecurity. Okay, if you are not very secure in yourself and you are always worried about what is happening to your brother, how people are succeeding and you are not succeeding, if you are not very careful, you wouldn't advance. We can't grow and be better together. So we realize that in the place of insecurity, let us be very secured. And that's why our declaration for the year, we are saying that we are going to be secured. You know, so you are going to believe in yourself and thank God for whatever God is doing and what God has done for you. Are you getting the point? And then finally, we realize that one of the things that can destroy relationship is resentment. Okay, it's resentment. When people do things against you and you can't let go, but you also want to pay them back. Okay, like you want to do them some. Somebody does something against you and you want to do the person some. Do him some. So you take the thing. The person does something against you, you take it inside you. Instead of letting go, you don't. You take it inside you, you polish it nicely, and then you take it and you resend it. That is resentment. Okay. But if you want relationship to continue, then instead of resenting, you will hold it and then you forgive. So you replace resentment with forgiveness. Now, it's very interesting for us because we are on the journey. You know, one of the most difficult things that we experience in life is when people who are very close to us, people who we love, when they hurt us. Okay? But God knows that people will hurt people. And hurting people hurts people more. But the key is that we have to make sure it is not God's will that relationships be broken based on the slightest offense or the slightest thing somebody does against you. That's the reason why you have to build yourself up. And the only way you can overcome all these things is to make sure that you are playing like God. Some of you get it after I'm done. God is love. In his love, it's unconditional. He doesn't segregate. He doesn't discriminate. He loves all people. And so always remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Now, God, he didn't say for God so loved people who go to church. No, neither did he say for God so loved people who are nice. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is how God wants us to treat to handle people. He wants us to walk with people like he will walk with them. So he wants us to love as he loves. Look at your neighbor and let him know that you love him or her very, very, very well. But he hasn't seen it yet. Tell him, I love you very well. But you haven't seen it yet. Amen. Some of you are saying it and like you don't really mean it. You know, you are not too sure whether... No, because you are telling the person sitting by you, you know, I love you very, very much. And the person is saying, but if you love me the whole month, I haven't come to church, but you haven't called me. Meanwhile, you sit with the person on the same road. Okay. The women amongst us are saying, you know, Pastor, it's true, but, you know, love is action. Love is action. Some of you have to take each other to lunch after service today. Amen. Okay, so 40 days of our community, we are trying to understand how God's purposes, God's five purposes for our life is fulfilled. And remember, it is fulfilled in a community. Okay, so we are better together. We are better together. We worship God better when we are together. We serve better when we are together. Okay, we do things better. We reach out better when we are better together. This morning, we are going to look at how we can grow together. How can we help each other grow together? Okay, so pick up your bulletin because I'm just going to stick by it and then make sure I highlight one or two things feeling for you. So if you are here in church and you don't have this, please raise your hand. Because it's very important that we all get copies. You know, the way we learn, especially as adults, the way we learn is by using all the senses. Sometimes we learn by seeing, by hearing, by touching, by experimenting, and all those. So today we want to use all the means by which we learn, especially as adults. So do we all have copies of this? Are you sure? Okay, so it shall be projected. Let's pray. Spirit of God, we thank you. Lord, you want us to be like you. You want us to live like you. You want us to love like you. We come before you with all humility and say, Lord, speak to us today. Lord, the reason for us gathering in a larger body like this is for us to learn and to go out there and be who you want us to be. So, Spirit of God, take control of our lives. Let your word comfort to us as you have ordained. Let hearts be changed. Let lives be transformed. Let this country be a better country because of us. Let Living Word be a better church because of us. Let, Father Lord God, your name be lifted up high. Let us, Father Lord, be carriers of your presence. Wherever we go, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. How we help each other grow. How do we help each other to grow? How can we do it? Okay. The Bible says, from the beginning, God decided that those who come to him, and all along he knew who willed, and he said, they should become like his son. So I want you to get it. The third purpose for us being or becoming Christians is for us to grow and to become like Christ. All of us are at different stages of our walk with God. All of us. Some of us have been in church for 20 years, but we have been in Christ for a year. But we have to get the difference. Now, the way we can appreciate each other very well and help each other very well is not to take the posture of thinking that we are better than the others. Or we are more Christian than all others. Sometimes the sad thing that most of us do is that we judge people based on what we have heard about them, or what we know about them, or what we have seen them do, or the acts that we see them do. Most of the time, that's the way we judge people. So for example, you may know somebody who is a church member, but the person drinks. No, he drinks small, not even too much, but small. But whether it is small or too much, those of us who don't drink, sometimes we feel that because we don't drink, we are more spiritual than those who drink. And that is the mistake most of us commit. Because maybe you may not be a drinker. We don't see it. But maybe you are a serious gossiper. And if you go to your small group, and you look at the third lesson we learned, one of the things that destroys a country, that destroys a church, one of the sins that destroys a church is not fornication, it's not drunkenness, it's not any of these things, it is gossip. That is what destroys the church. And that is why God is seriously against it. So when you look at it, God puts them all. He puts all those things like gossip at the same level as murder and then as lies. So I want to encourage you. I know members of Living Word, we don't have the gift of gossiping. Yeah, I like the amen. Now, but why was I going with those things? This is where I'm going. Now, it is not my responsibility. It is not your responsibility, okay, to turn people into what you want them to be. The Bible says, this is the scripture. The Bible says, God has brought us here, and the third reason why he has brought us here is for us to become like Christ, not to become like you. No, God has not saved us. He has not saved you for you to become like me, Pastor DeGraft. No, he has saved you to work with him, to become like him, me becoming like him, all of us becoming like him. And so our responsibility is to encourage each other to become more like him. Are you happy you are in church? Are you sure? This is church. One of the major other reasons why sometimes people cannot even come to church, it's because those of us who come to church, we know in our minds the qualification of church comers. Now, we even know how people should dress to church. No, some of us, we have it in our mind. So seriously, if we had people come in here, like with tattoo and so, some of you, you will look, the way you looked at them, they will go, they will never come back. No, because, you see, it's not your fault, though. No, it's not your fault. Because in your mind's eye, you think that, oh, a Christian is supposed to dress like pastor. Okay, so you write people off based on the appearance. And seriously, some of us are very sincere, but we are sincerely wrong. No, it's true. It's true. Somebody was telling me, Pastor, I work in my workplace. We work with people, different people. And there are these people who are, they are like gays or lesbians. They are very nice people. I say, yeah, they are also human beings. Created in the image of God. God loves them. No, don't condemn people based on what they do. Just love them out of it. You know, so because we don't know how to live with them, we are condemning them instead of loving them and letting them know that we appreciate them and our God loves them. So their love can change them. We are condemning them. So then they don't have any other hope. And that's the way people see most of us Christians. I pray that on this journey, your mind will change. Can I hear amen? Yeah. Because see, some of you are not still getting it. No, the work that God has given to us is for us to reach out. It's for us to evangelize. It's not for us to condemn. It's not for us to send people to hell. That is the work of angels. No, leave it for them. The angels know how to do it. Some of you want to be angels. Okay, in Revelation, even the word angels there means like pastors or elders. So I can be an angel, but you can't. So our role is to encourage each other and do what? And build each other up. Look at your neighbor and say, build me up. I need you. Can I hear amen? No, very, very important. So you have to build, encourage each other and build each other up. So if our job, if our role, if our responsibility is to build each other up, so what is the obvious question? How do I build you up? Okay, so look at your neighbor and say, how can I build you up? I'm sure Sandra and Billy are sitting there, and Billy is saying, now I'm mourning, so encourage me. And then Sandra said, me too, I'm mourning. So okay, let's encourage ourselves. Okay, so the way they can build each other up is to cry together and wipe their tears together. It's building each other up. So what do we do? Number one, how do we build each other up? Number one, by affirming each other's worth. That's the way we do it. By affirming each other's worth. Look, affirm, believe in each other. Don't let us judge people by the sins they commit, by the wrong things they do. Affirm. Affirming is, look, just declaring it, making sure that you let the person know that you believe in him. Affirm each other's worth. People are not judged by who they are, but by who God has created them to be. All of us have been created in the image of God. Now, please listen to me. The same as Selfishness comes to us naturally. Affirming people, especially when it has to do with other person, does not come easy. The easiest thing, natural thing that most of us human beings do is to belittle people, is to look down on people, is to let people around you feel that you are better than them. That's the natural thing. So if you want to be in the place where you will exhibit the character and the nature and the true love of God, you have to ask God for his help. Because seriously, can I tell you something? People are the same. And people will do wrong things. In fact, sometimes your husbands can do things, you look at them and wonder, are you sure you are? You know, but you don't judge them by what they have done. You judge them by who the spirit in them. Affirm people's way. You are great. You have been created in the image of God. Because God loves you. Don't worry. Even though you have done it, don't worry. God is in control. I believe in you. If nobody else believes in you, I believe in you. No, affirm each other's worth. Because we are worthy. Look, Jesus came and died for you. So if you are not significant, he wouldn't come and die for you. Some of you still don't get it. So look at my face. Let me let you know. Okay. The Bible says, whilst we were yet sinners. No, it wasn't when you became a believer that God gave Jesus to come and die for you. Add comfort. It was when you were busy sinning. No, seriously engaged in the sin. That is when God sent his son. He's not condoning. He's not saying continue to sin. No. What he's saying is that, look, I love you the way you are. And if you trust me with your life, I will turn you to become like me. Even though you are like this, I will bring you on the path. And at the end, you will become like me. God, that is the goal. So when you come to church, don't just make your goal of church just being long in church. No. But being like Christ through church. Are you enjoying it so far? Are you sure? Are you sure you are getting it? So affirm each other. By affirming each other's worth. Okay. How do we affirm? How do we do it? Number one, we do it by acceptance. Okay, if you want to affirm somebody, you have to accept the person. Do it by acceptance. Accept each other. Accept one another. Believe in one another. Amen? Yeah. You know how you accept, one another? By inviting one another to each other's house. But when you come home, when you come to church, and you see each other, let us know that, you've accepted us. Accept each other. Look at the scripture. It says, accept one another just as who? Just as who? Just as who? Okay, so let's pause. Now, I'm taking my time. Because, see, there's something on my heart I want you to get. Because I think if we want to grow as a church, if we continue to behave the way we are doing, we won't grow beyond the way we are. Okay, the Bible says, accept each other as Christ has accepted us. Accept each other. Accept people as Christ has accepted you. If Christ had looked at your sins and my sins, seriously, we wouldn't be here. No, some of you will be there. Me, I don't believe I can be there. Sometimes church congregations, some of them are very, very, very spiritual. Very, very. So we thank God for your lives. We thank God for your lives. So those of us who are thirsty, we are thirsty. Those of us who know that, Lord, there is more we can become. Because for me, my goal is, I am not satisfied with my walk with God until I find myself before God and God tells me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Until I hear the well done there. People can tell me well done. I will thank you, shake it off, and move on. Because the well done must come from him. Okay, some of you have given your well done here. But, hold it up until you get there. Can I hear amen? Amen? So accept each other. Now let's learn to accept each other. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying let people sin and accept the sins they are committing. That's not what I'm saying. This place is not a center where we manufacture sins. Are you getting the point? No. When you are working with Christ, get him well. Because once you have the right, once you have the theory right, the practicals will be clear. That's why when you go to work, you go to school, they give you the theory. So you understand the theory very well. You come out and you live it. But if your theory is wrong, it will reflect. So we are building the theory. The foundation is the fact that God has accepted all of us just as we are, and he's working on us. So we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. All of us are work in progress. Or some of you are finished products. Okay, the moment you become a finished product, you are either raptured or you die. But as long as we are still here on this earth, we are still work in progress. Can I hear amen? Look at your neighbor's face and tell, look, I accept you the way you are. We may not agree on everything. No, tell the person, we may not agree on anything. We don't have to. We don't have to agree on everything. But I accept you the way you are. Amen. Amen. All right. So how do we do it? With acceptance, number two. Number two, with attention. You know, by giving attention to the person, paying attention, being there for the person at the right time. Look at the scripture. The Bible says, give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Give special attention. When we come and we close, don't just walk around and leave people around and then just go. There are some people, the moment we close, speed. Okay, we are trusting God that God will help us to close on time. Because some people say, Pastor, because we don't close on time, we don't have time to fellowship. Even sometimes when we close on time, still people don't fellowship. Look, the fellowshipping after church is part of the church. I promise you. Look, there are some people, throughout the week, they haven't got anybody to pay them attention. And even just give them a compliment. Nobody. Even in the house. No, seriously, people, husband and wife can be in the house. And nobody will even pay attention to each other. They'll be paying attention to their phones. And their television. And their programs. So when you come to church, let us pay attention to people. Even if it is just some few minutes. The Bible says special attention. Look at your neighbor sitting by and say, special attention. I know you need special attention. Let the person know that, look, if you don't get the attention at home, please, don't worry. I'm here. I'll give you attention. Give special attention to those who are in the family of what? Of believers. Those who are in the family of believers. That's the way you do it. So number one, let us affirm each other. How do we do it? By accepting each other, by showing by giving attention, with attention. And then, number three, the third point is with affection. You know, we are living in Canada where there are so many laws. So right now, they are taking affection away from people. And the way attention is, the same thing. There are so many people. Now, please don't get me wrong. You don't have to marry to have an affection. To express your emotions. Because there are some people that will never marry. Okay? There are some people that will never marry. Sometimes Christians, we make it as if everybody should marry. That's why we have problems. Because seriously, in my life, as in 20-something years as a pastor, there are some people, when they sit before me, I really see through. I say, you shouldn't have married. Because you're just worrying the woman. True. You should have seen it earlier. That you are not a marriable material. No, it's true. Sometimes, you know, square whatever in square peg in round holes. Yeah. No, but it's true. No, it's scripture. What I'm saying is scripture. It's not everybody who's supposed to marry. It's scripture. There are some people, they have their gift. You have to know that you have their gift. Okay, you don't have to marry because everybody else is married. That's why sometimes we have a lot of problems in our world today. Okay, but if you believe that you are supposed to marry, then please, you to marry well. Amen. Right. I'm talking about affection. You have to show affection. The laws around because of whatever, and this person has done this. So we don't even have any affection. There are some people, they are starved. They are starved, starving from affection. Because nobody, ever since the guy was born, the father even didn't show any affection. There's no hug, there's no embrace, there's nothing. So if you marry two and there's no embrace, then you are dead. And so the spiritual family of God is where genuine and true affection is supposed to be manifested. But unfortunately, even in the church, when people come and we are trying to show the affection, and then some church people do take advantage to destroy people. So people don't even trust people any longer. Even in the church. You know, should there be any strings attached? No, it's in the church, the family of God, where people are, say, single, or people have the gift of even singlehood, or people who are not married and so on. That it's supposed to be, the family of God is supposed to be an environment where they will be shown a genuine affection with no strings attached. So if a person doesn't find any affection at home, affection at work, affection anywhere, and comes to church, and church too, there's no genuine affection, then the person is stamped. Now, that's how we affirm each other's worth. You know, so people don't feel bad. There are so many people who feel, oh, because I don't have a child, I'm not fit. Or because I'm not married, I'm not fit. And sometimes we, some of us church members, make it feel like that. It is in the church. That is where people are supposed to be free, because we are family. We understand each other. We love each other. We care about each other. And so we are for each other. So we enjoy each other with a clean heart. No, I think on this journey, God will have to change us. Yeah, because people come to church the whole week. They go, their supervisors shout at them, do something, and then people, they are alone, maybe single mother, single, and then comes to church too, and church too, nothing. I like that, amen. Amen. You know, I know people have natural tendencies. I mean, me, I think I have a natural tendency of saying hi to people, embracing people. Sometimes I come, by the time I go home, my coat, people have used their nice pawns. So now when I'm embracing people, I don't go like this. I go like this. The makeups are very powerful. Very powerful. They are very powerful combinations. Sometimes it takes a long time to get it clean. Even a washing machine can't wash it. You know. But sometimes, now listen to me. You know, sometimes I think about it. If God so loved the world that he gave his son, what is the suit? You know, what is the suit? What is the suit compared to somebody who needs that affection? Somebody will come in the whole of his life. Nobody has even believed in him and even embraced him and said, look, God loves you. You are worthy. Nobody does it. And then when he comes to and pastor to, hi. These days, pastors who have come, they don't even, just hi, that's they do. Now, let's be on our feet. Let's practice it. Move around. Give somebody a hug for me. Give somebody a hug. Give one person a hug. No, give somebody a hug. Let somebody know that you love the person. Glory! Give somebody a hug. I didn't say give your husband a hug. Give your wife a hug. Glory! How about him? Yamisha. Amen. 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 Glory! Hallelujah! Yes, let them know that you love them in the name of Jesus. It is not just high five. Glory be to God. My God. Labakatoli andava. Mananani andava. I didn't get the hug from you. Bless you. Yes! In the name of Jesus. Yes. Glory! Amen. Amen. Hey! God bless you. Let's be seated. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Okay. Thank you very much. Look at your neighbor's face and say, Pastor knows that now you need help. Amen. I realize that some of you wanted us to, I think one of the days we'll do hugging service. At the comfort, I think we need to do a hugging service. Well, we will come to church and we'll just be hugging. We pray that hugging will not lead us into temptation. Can I hear amen? No, but it's very important. Now, listen. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, the Bible says, love one another with brotherly affection as members of what? Of one family. You know, as members of one family. We are one family. And it is not sin to show an affection. And you can show an affection with no ill motive. Are you getting the point? Yeah, the reason why some of those things happen and government comes in legislation is because of human behavior. But with Christ in our hearts, as a family of God, we can do it right. And ultimately, it will attract the attention of even the world. They will say, no, these people, who are these people? The last point under that one is that we show, it's not only... We don't only affirm people, okay? It's not only by affirming each other's worth, just by acceptance and affection, with attention and affection, but also with appreciation. You know, let's learn to appreciate each other. Let's learn to appreciate each other. I think I have to fix it in here because I wanted to do it at the end. You know, let's learn. By appreciating each other. Now, in the small group, in our small groups, there was a project we were supposed to do in appreciation, trying to show appreciation. So I don't know who is appreciating who. Okay, but the small groups are ready. So those who are ready with the appreciations, we don't know who you're appreciating. Can you just come forward briefly and then let's see. Move on. 2 seconds. Just come, mention it. Okay, also, my is here. Okay. So which group are you appreciating? Okay, the church bus drivers?
Yes.
Okay, so church bus drivers, are you here? Some of them don't even know. Are the drivers here? Okay, please come. Okay, so we need the drivers. Very fast, very fast. Because it's just the small group. Okay, who are the small, those in the small group? That's our small group. Where are they? Please come, small group. The small group. Okay. So very, very fast. So this is my small group. And this is the young, this is not the youngest member. We just dedicated a baby. Zeke, how are you? Okay. So now I know all the children, all of them, their names, everything. Because I also go to small group. Yesterday when we met in our small group, I shared things with them for them to pray for me about. Yeah, some of you think pastors too don't have. Okay, so the drivers, where are they? Okay, so present it to them.
And Esther Living Cell Group, we appreciate you so much for the wonderful work that you are doing in the church. God bless you.
Okay, so when the rest come, these things are here, so we'll give it to them. Thank you very much. Which group is this?
Brampton Jeremiah.
Brampton Jeremiah, okay.
From Brampton Jeremiah, we accept Bro Prince Dua.
Bro Prince Dua. Why? You understand why?
For cleaning our church.
Okay, Prince. Okay, so is that a group? Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Which group is this?
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, from where?
Brampton
Nehemiah. Okay.
Prince Pacha Nko. Ohun donti odona ya starti wo so. Nehemiah group enti yekura bibi kakra de ma wo Yesu din. Amen.
So Prince. Okay. Okay. That's it. Amazing. Put your hands together and celebrate them. Okay. So I know, like, that this is what we're supposed to do, our first section. Okay, so if you haven't done yours, I know some people have given theirs out already. Nicodemus, that's good. We thank God for Nicodemus giving. But, you know, we have to learn to appreciate one another. And this is small group. If you are not part of a small group, please make sure you are part of a small group. If you are not living close by anybody, please, you and your children, and you yourself, you are a small group. Start your small group. Can I hear amen? Now, learn to appreciate each other. This morning, when I came to church, I was with someone, and then somebody appreciated me, and I said, I want to share the appreciation with somebody else. So, where's Brother Albert? Osha, please come. Let me share my appreciation with you. Because I just split it, so let's split it. Thank you. All right. Okay, so somebody just said, Pastor, let me bless you. I said, okay, good. Is that okay if I also share with somebody? Say, yeah. Because this is appreciation. Okay. Now, this is how you affirm each other's worth. Okay? So, what we are saying is, how do we help each other grow? We have just looked at the first point. Just the first point. But don't worry. Yeah, I'm not here to finish everything. I'm here to get the message across. The message is that God has brought us together for us to help each other grow to become like him. To become like Christ. And how do we do it? We do it by affirming each other's worth. Which means that all of us are worthy. We have been bought by the highest price you can ever think of. The highest. By God's own life. That is how much God loves us. So the first thing is that we do that by affirming each other's worth. Number two. How do we help each other grow? Number two, by praying for each other's growth. By praying for each other's growth. You know, by praying for each other's growth. Praying for each other's growth. That's what we are going to do. So there are three simple assignments we are going to do on this prayer thing. The people that you are sitting by, two, three, just get two or three people's name. This week you will pray for them. For their growth, just for this week. Okay, so just get two names of the people you are sitting by. Write them on your card, on your whatever, your paper. Don't throw it away because some of you, oh no, I believe you don't throw them away. So I shouldn't go there. Two names of the people who are sitting by you. Don't, or the person sitting behind you. If you can get the person sitting behind you, the person sitting by you, just get two names. Get two names. Get two names. Okay, get two names. If you are in the middle, the person sitting by your left, sitting by your right, get those two names. And then pray for the person. Now, listen very carefully. Pray for the person's growth this week. So let the person know that you are going to pray for him this week. Or for her this week. Glory be to God. Are you enjoying yourself so far? Okay, so now, look at my face. Look at it. Are you set? Have you gotten your two names? Okay. How many of you have realized that the person who normally sits behind you didn't even know the name, but now you know the name? Can I have a test? Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes we take so many things for granted. Like, we come to church and we think, oh, we know each other. Are you getting the point? All right, so get the names. So let's roll out. So by praying for each other's growth. So what do we mean? Look at the scripture. The Bible says, Epaphras always prays for you that you will grow to be spiritually mature. Okay, so this week, use this prayer, these scriptures to pray for the two people or three people that you have. That they will grow spiritually. They will grow spiritually. They will mature spiritually. And then look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. It says, I pray that you'll be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, how high Christ's love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. So we are praying that God will help us to experience, to believe that, look, God really, really loves us. Now, look at my face carefully. We are going through things. Yeah, we are going through things, life experience. Sometimes you get to a point where you even wonder whether God loves you. Now, in spite of all that you have heard, all that you have been taught, or, you know, you have grown up in church, but sometimes you get to a point where you wonder whether God loves you. When you start asking, if God loves me, then why? If God loves me, then why this? If God, but in spite of your whys, God still loves you. And people will have to come to that point of understanding the depth, the width, the height of God's love this week. Pray for each other. You are praying. Amen? Yeah, some of you are prayer warriors. Some of you, too, you have to learn to pray. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 says, I pray that you will always be eager to do right. Eager to do right. But the environment where we are, people are not eager to do right. In fact, people are eager to do wrong. And sometimes in the church, some... hold your neighbors and pray that God will grant him the grace, you know, the eagerness to do right. May that be the portion of your brother or your sister. Hold your brother or your sister's hands and pray. Pray this for him. Pray. In fact, pray this prayers. Pray that we will grow and be spiritually mature. Pray that your sister will grow and be spiritually mature. Pray in the name of Jesus that your friend, your brother will experience the love of God. We will experience the love of God, the real love of God. We will experience this and pray that we will always be eager to do right. Pray that in the name of Jesus, in spite of the challenges, we'll be eager to do right, eager to do right, eager to live right, eager to act right, eager to behave right, in the name of Jesus, eager to do right, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh Lord, can I hear amen? Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, I pray God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. While you trust in him, God will fill you with peace. Especially with the bereaved family that we have. You know that God will fill them with peace. And God will fill all of us too with peace. I pray God will do that. It says, I pray in Ephesians 1:17, the God's word translation. It says, I pray God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of him, he will give us wisdom. But in this time and age, we need the wisdom of God. In this godless world, this world that do not want to have anything to do with God, we can have wisdom. Amen? Now look at Ephesians 3:16. It says, I pray God may strengthen you with power through his spirit. How many of you know that we need the power of God to strengthen us in our spirit? You can easily become weak. And sometimes some of us become very weak. This week, use these scriptures to pray for the two people and three people. Can I hear amen? Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen. Are you on the same line with me? Okay, look at the scripture. It says, May God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. You know, so the prayer we pray is that, look, God, help us to be able to learn to get along with each other. One of the best ways to grow is to learn to get along. Learning to get along. It's not easy to get along. But God should help us to learn to learn how to get along with each other. Because we are all not the same. There are some people, they talk too much. That is good. It's their gift. There are some, they won't even know. They will be talking. You are talking and they are just watching. That is who they are. But God should help us to learn how to get along. There are some people, they spend every money that comes, they will spend. There are some, too, every money they will save. So they are like, they don't even eat. Like they just drink. You know, but God, help us to learn how to get along. Yeah, God, all of us are different, but that's the reason why God has brought us here. So we can get along. Because everybody's tendency or everybody's temperament is needed. Okay, but when we learn how to get along with each other well, then we'll learn to maximize our strength. Are you getting my point? Yeah, because those of you who are chisel type. A time will come who will need you. Because we need money to do the right things. And those of you too who are spenders, a time will come we will need you to help us spend. Amen. You know, because we don't understand people, that's why sometimes we think living with people is an issue. You know, sometimes the major issue is that we think they have to see it. Why are they not seeing it? Why are you not seeing it? Why don't you just see it? Yeah, they can't see it. Because you can't you see, they can't see it. You think they should see it, but they are not seeing it. And you are not seeing it, but you think they are not seeing it. And you think you are also not seeing it. But so let's all see it the way we see it. Okay. I have to go. Communion service, right? Okay. Move on to the next one. Let me see. Fill it in and then we'll go. So the next one. By admitting our own mistakes. Number three. By admitting our own mistakes. By admitting our mistakes. Now, the way we help each other grow, the third way is by admitting our own mistakes. When you do something wrong, you admit it. Now, why do we have to admit it? What are the benefits in admitting your mistakes, in accepting that you are wrong? I mean, if you are wrong, you are wrong. If you're a pastor, you are wrong, you are wrong. I know there are some pastors, they are new, like the Pope. They don't do anything. But if you are wrong, you are wrong. So you just have to, there's nothing saying, oh, I'm sorry, I think I missed it. I think I didn't do it right. I think I didn't see it the right way. No, that's how we help each other grow. Okay. But if you become so adamant and you think you won't accept any error of yours, you worsen the situation. So look at some few benefits and then we'll go. No, when you do that, when you accept it, the benefits of honesty, in other words, when you accept your mistake, you are being honest, you are being transparent, you are being truthful, you are being faithful. Number one, what you get is emotional healing. Okay, you get emotional healing. Because when you admit your fault and the person says, oh, that's okay, I've forgiven you, you realize that you are healed. You know, you are free. So emotionally, there's healing. I pray that God will release some emotional healing in our midst today. And then point number two is that you get a fresh start. You know, but once you admit it and the person forgives you, then you move on. God gives you a fresh start. Okay, so it's very important for us to do some of those things. Okay, so admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So when you do that, you are healed. There's healing in admitting, confessing, forsaking, repenting. There's healing in it. Okay, so the second point is that there's a fresh start. You get a fresh start. Okay, the Bible says anyone who refuses to admit his mistake can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Now, we are serving a God who gives second chance. In fact, it's not just second chance, third chance. Who gives not just third chance, fourth chance? Who gives not just fourth chance, hundredth chance, thousandth chance? Now, God gives chance. No wonder the disciples went to Jesus and they said, how often should we forgive our neighbor when they sin? I'm sure Peter was wild. He was waiting to say, Jesus would say, where two or three have gathered, or a mouth of two witnesses. So when the person does the thing first time, second time, and third time, cut the person off. You know, because we are in a hurry to cut people off. Jesus says 70 times 7. So 490 times. The same thing. Like when the person does the sin, he says, forgive him. And then Jesus says, forgive him as your Father in heaven. I'm forgiving you. Oh, no, seriously? If Christians were supposed to live like Christians, this world would have been changed. Seriously. Just practicing it. So that's emotional healing. And then what else? That's a fresh start. Number two. Number three. Point number three. You get God's power to change. You know, once you admit it, God gives you the power to change. And then the fourth thing that happens is that you move into deeper fellowship. Okay, so the third thing is that you get God's power to change. So you receive the power to change and then deeper fellowship. It says, if we live in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. So our relationship deepens once we admit our faults to one another. Let's finish it. Number four. How do we help each other to grow? The first thing is that by admitting each other's worth, by praying for each other's growth, by admitting our own mistakes. And then, number four, by encouraging each other's commitment. Each other's commitment. Each other's commitment. Each other's commitment. No, the church today is crying for commitment. Commitment. This dawn in my prayer, the Lord woke me up early and said, tell my people to be on a journey. Okay. A journey of imagination. Just try to imagine. Just imagine yourself living your life the way we do church. How effective and efficient can you become? Just imagine, you know, the way you and I, the way you come to church. Like, you are here only once, Sunday. So assuming you are eating, like you have a baby. Okay, you're giving birth to a baby. This is the illustration. And then you decide that for me, I will feed the baby once a week. You draw the conclusion. Okay. So we are trusting that even though you come here once a week, on your own, you are praying. On your own, you are fasting. On your own, you are reading your Bible. On your own, you are doing it. But seriously, on your own. Should I prophesy? Should I pick people out and tell them what some of the things we do? Okay. Should I enter into the Spirit? Okay, I should stay like this. Okay. Now, that's why we are encouraging you. Like there's Sunday school. I said, look, Sunday, if the whole week you are so busy, at least tell yourself that for Sunday so you can come to Sunday school and be part of the class and learn the word. If the whole week you haven't been able to read the Bible, at least Sunday. So come and swallow everything you can swallow. Okay. Don't worry, small groups, living cells. And we are doing all these 40 days. I said, look, and don't rush and come here in your area, in your home. Do it. And still, we want you to grow to be like him. God's intention is for us to grow to be like him. Are you enjoying yourself so far? Do you still love me? Okay, keep yourself in training for a godly life. That's what the Bible is saying. Keep yourself in training. And it says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you. That is why we need each other. Look at the small groups. Let's go through the purposes, the reason for which God has brought us here. A commitment that we need to do. Number one, commit to love Jesus Christ. Commit to love him. Commit to love Jesus. Commit to love him. If you love him, it will show in the way you do things. Okay? If you love him, it will show. And then number two, commit to love other believers. That is fellowship. Commit to love Jesus, that is worship. Commit to love other believers, that is fellowship. Okay, if you are writing, it's not there. We can put it in, just to remind you. And then commit to grow in God's word. Commit to grow in God's word. So you read the Bible. You memorize the scripture. You go for the small group. Commit to grow in God's word. But if you don't commit to it, it won't happen. And then commit to serve in ministry. Next week, we'll talk about how we can all serve together. And we need to get something. And then, number five, commit to share the good news. That is evangelism. Commit to share the good news. That's evangelism. Let me conclude with this. Because it's 12:30. Look at my face. You know, anytime, in light of the purposes, anytime we talk about tithe, anytime we talk about tithe, people's mind and attention goes to money. Okay? But anytime we talk about tithe, don't just think about money. Think about three things I'm going to show you because it's in line with God's will. Okay? Think about your time. Think about your talent. Think about your treasure. It's not just about money. How much of your time do you give to God? How much of your talent have you made available to God, for God to use to build his church? Okay. Now, the probability is that if you are not faithful in giving God height of your time and the height of your talent. I prophesy with my spectacles on. Your tithe will not be genuine. You watch it from your life. Because wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be yours. So it has nothing to do with the money. The problem is not money. We don't have money problem. We have heart problem. Commitment problem. Because if you're able to give, God has given you 24 hours in a day. And he says, give me tithe of that day, of the 24 hours. It's 2 hours, 40 minutes. If you give God, you're able to give God 2 hours, 40 minutes, spend it with God, and let God work on you, reveal himself to you, empower you, you pray, you seek the word, you study the word of God, you ask for wisdom from God and guidance from God, your heart is close to him, you will obey him. And things will become easy for you. So because you are not spending time with God to gain wisdom and revelation and knowledge from him, we are spending time with other people and we are getting wrong knowledge and insight. Next week I'll continue because it's time I need to go to communion because it's very important. Are you happy you came to church? How can we help each other grow? Amen? Yeah. Let us affirm each other. Let us do it. The first one is affirm each other. The next one is do it. Pray for each other. Amen? The next one is what? Eh? Yeah, admit your mistakes. So if you are wrong, accept that you are wrong. And then the fourth thing is what? Encourage each other. Encourage each other. Look at your neighbor's face and say, you will grow from today. You will grow. Because of me, you will grow. I will help you grow. Let's bow our heads and pray. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Spirit of God, we thank you. We bless you. We worship and honor you. We give you glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the thanks. We give you all the adoration. We give you all the honor. Lord, lift up your voice and thank you. Now, if you are here this morning, all these things that we have talked about, growing to be like Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you can't even grow to be like him. Okay, so if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, how can you even grow to be like him? So I want to encourage you, if you don't know him, you can know him. You can have him in your heart, in your life. Today, you can. You know, he is not condemning you. Maybe you think because of a sin you have committed, you cannot. No, he will. This morning, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity to turn your life over to him. Three simple steps. You have to, first of all, just admit that you are a sinner. It's not because of the things you do, because you've taken your own will into your hands. Number two, repent. Confess the sins. Quietly say, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me. Then number three, receive him into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior. This simple prayer we prayed many years ago and God turned our lives around. You can do it. Let's spend some few minutes to do it. For those of you who are here like that, if you are here like that, pray and turn your life over to him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, if you don't believe that today, right now, if Jesus comes and you, or even you die today, you are not sure whether you go to heaven. This is what will give you that surety. Confessing and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I do what I want. Today, at the hearing of your word, I turn my heart over to you. Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Lord. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Not just as my Savior, but as my Lord. With every eye still closed, all of us seated, if you prayed that prayer, every eye is closed. No eyes open. Just lift up your hand. Flip your hand. Let me just thank God for your life. Just thank God for your life. Thank you. Father, we thank you for the hands. We pray in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, be exalted in the life of your people. And be glorified. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their heart. Thank you, Father, for the decisions they've made. Be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those of us who are believers, just hold our hands. Let's hold our hands. And let's pray briefly for each other before we come to communion. Let's pray for each other. And this is the prayer I want us to pray. A prayer of rededication. Okay. Let's of us, all of us agree and rededicate our lives to God and say, God, we commit our lives. We commit ourselves to love you. To love Jesus. To love other believers. To love one another. To love to grow. To love, to serve, oh God. And then again, to share our faith. Let's pray for this commitment. Let's pray that God will help us as believers to commit. We commit ourselves to love Jesus, commit ourselves to love one another as God wants us to love each other, commit ourselves to grow, to be like Christ, commit ourselves to serve in ministry, do something with our talent in the church, in the kingdom. We commit ourselves today, oh God, to share our faith with those who are not Christians, those who do not know you. Lord God, we commit ourselves today. The grace to do it, the grace to live out, the grace to manifest it, the grace to show forth, let it be our portion. We thank you, Lord, we bless you. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.